We are grateful to gather here this morning in the one mind, the one power, and the one presence, recognizing that there is no future in the past, that we have come here to release and let go of what was, and to allow a wonderful new beginning to take place. So our minds are opened and our hearts are open to a deeper and greater understanding of this teaching and its principle, as well as open to a deeper willingness to receive more and a greater good. So whatever has gone prior to this moment, we release it, we let it go, and we allow our intention to up-level, to increase, so that we may somehow learn to think larger. And in that larger thinking, we accept and attract to ourselves a much larger good. So we're grateful to be here at this particular time, in this particular place. We now release these words and we let them be, and together we say, and so it is. So this is an interesting theme we have this month. There is no future in the past. How many of you have discovered that, actually, that there is no future in the past? Somebody said to me this morning, after looking at the front of the program, you know, you are carrying one chair behind you. I have two chairs that I carry behind me. And then even some more, because I'm older than you. And that might be the only person who's older than me, so bless you. And I know that we'll both keep breathing as we go through this service today. So, consciously creating new patterns of mind. How many of you are ready for that? New patterns of thought, new patterns of mind. Love the old patterns, love the old thoughts, been with you forever, comfortable and all of that. And now you're ready to go on to something newer, something greater, something grander. Okay, so then I know that you're open and you're receptive to that. So in its wisdom, spirit actually has implanted within each and every one of us this capacity that allows us to delete from our thinking mind thoughts that betray our true nature, and then allows us to mentally reboot by consciously creating new patterns of thought that empower us, that inspire us, and most importantly, that liberate us. So I want to clarify something important for us to remember before I begin. And that is to remind us that there is no separation between you and God. The word God has many, many meanings and many, many names. You may call it your maker, your creator. You may call it your source, your higher power, the divine presence, the one power, good, love, the one power that governs all. It's up to you. You could not be separated from that which you are one with, could you? So we're reiterating and clarifying that we are one with this power. So it would be impossible to be separated from it. Now, we're also talking about a loving God when we talk about God, not a punishing a God. Because if there was a punishing God, then that would be about division. That would not be about unity, and it wouldn't be about oneness. The law of cause and effect, in my experience, seems to take very good care of punishing us. Now, Ernest Holmes said, sin is a mistake and punishment a consequence. God neither punishes nor rewards. Life is a blessing or a curse according to the use that we make of it. So we are our own reward and punishment, self-inflicted through ignorance. Your pattern of thought has everything to do with your living in health and happiness and in success. On page 496 of The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, "We are here to think on those things which are of good rapport, those things which are of the truth, and God will supply our needs." This is a beautiful thought, that we're fed from the table of the universe, whose board is ever spread with blessedness and peace, whose loving kindness has never fathomed, whose grace and truth are the cornerstones of reality. We form our experiences, good and bad, by our own pattern of thinking. Not by wishful thinking, but by correct thinking, or as we say, right thinking. If you think happiness, you are actually in the process of creating more happiness. If you think misery, then you're in the process of increasing misery. Thought is created, and whatever receives the impress of your creative thought then becomes your experience. Ernest Holmes said that the body is healed as the inner mind is transformed, as the old and false images of thought are renewed by images of truth and life. The process through which the renewing takes place is a conscious one and may be practiced by anyone who understands the principle involved. So he made up this line or thought that says, change your thinking and change your life. Now, one of the things that we don't talk often about is atonement, because we really look at it as at-one-ment. But I want to spend just a moment looking at that, because it's like also making amends. And we all atone for wrongdoing, in that the law of cause and effect punishes us until we learn to stop making mistakes. Certainly until we learn to stop making the same mistakes. Unity with God heals thought patterns of separation, or a belief in two powers. We are always at one with our source unless we choose to pull away. And then it can appear as though we are not one, that we have divided ourselves. Every day is an opportunity to celebrate our ability to consciously create new patterns of thought. That's part of our opportunity. That's part of our responsibility in growth, is to consciously remember to create new patterns of thought. And to recognize the error of our thought by not wasting time on self-condemnation or blame or shame or guilt. And to correct our thinking belief, and then to use that as a wake-up call, as a wake-up call for growth, and as a very profound teachable moment about love. I would say that we need probably more celebrations that express our great joy and our great appreciation for the courage it takes to change, for the courage that it takes to overcome certain limitations and restrictions. The blessing in the illumination of the truth is that it sets us free from fear, and then it lets love pour in. We can't have both fear and love. So we make a choice and we make a decision. We say, I'm going to let go of fear to allow this love to pour in. Because we know that truth overcomes all error. Once the truth is told, we're set free. So let's look at something. If God is really a loving God, a forgiving God, and God is in you, as we know it is, then any belief in a life apart from God or good has to be some sort of a dream. And perhaps that's the dream that we are awakening from. Perhaps it's more like the nightmare. To awaken oneself is simply to be healed. And to be healed is to allow the truth to be revealed. The other thing that this is for us is it's a real open invitation. And the invitation is for us to reestablish our relationship with God, to reestablish our relationship with the divine, to recommit to our own spiritual practice and our connection with the divine. Also, to form patterns of thought that are aligned with our own true holiness and wholeness. Not that we could ever move away from wholeness, not that we could be more holy than we are. It's just we could discontinue moving away from it and separating ourselves from it. When are the times we separate ourselves from it? Well, let's use an example. Something happens in life. You have a situation or a condition. I find that usually those situations or conditions that may cause some negativity or discord, usually and not always, involve another individual. Would you agree? You're pretty fine just by yourself, aren't you? Oh, totally. You get along with you so well. You're so cool. And you know everything about you. And you know exactly what to do and what not to do. And everything in your life with you is great. And we all have this yearning to have friends and friendships and relationships. And then the fun begins. It's like, wow, look at all these friendships. Look at all these relationships. Look at all these opportunities to become more and more one with myself and with God. So new patterns of thought oftentimes become something that we want to have more of because we're not feeling very empowered. We're not feeling very inspired, and we're not feeling very liberated, especially if we find ourselves caught in the middle of discord. So one of the ways that we can change all that is to look at our own inner concept, our whole life, and really ask that it be changed, that our conceptual viewpoints of things be changed, that our perceptions, our beliefs that we have about certain things and situations be changed. Because just to change a pattern of thought probably isn't enough. We have to change something more about the self and in the way in which we look at things, perhaps the way in which we perceive things, the way in which we make things up, the stories that we make up about other people, the assumptions that we make, and of course, all of those things that we so clearly take personally. If we will change our own inner concept, Dr. Holmes said this, our whole life will be changed. He said, no thought of negation can enter a mind already filled with peace and faith. If we remember that, we certainly understand our starting point. This divine thing that we are is a natural goodness. It's an eternal freedom. It doesn't come and go, it's eternal. It also lets us know that it's pure and that it's loving kindness and that it also holds nothing against anyone, certainly not ourselves. However, then we have this other thing that we work with called the law. And the law is a cold, hard fact. And what it does is it returns to each of us the result of our own acts and our own actions, be they false or be they true. The law is neutral, yet it is an intelligent force, and it is a doer, it is not a knower. So you are the knower, and the knower is giving instructions or placing demands upon this law, which is a natural doer, and accepts you at your word, and of course, what you believe and what you are willing to accept. So Dr. Holmes says, no one judges us but ourselves. And he says, no one condemns us but ourselves. Do we always feel that way? Do we always feel that no one else is ever judging us? that it's just really our judgment, or there really isn't anyone else condemning us, it's us, and it's perhaps the projection back of that? Well, let's see. Let's hang in there for a moment. If we make a mistake, we suffer the consequences, which is why we correct our mistakes, right? Otherwise, there'd be no real reason to correct our mistakes. We correct them because there's a consequence to it. And we're usually uncomfortable in the consequence, and we don't like the feeling of it. So we somehow look and we learn a way in which to correct our mistake. And then our intention is that we stop making the same mistake over and over again, right? Everything is according to law, and everything is according to order. It's the only possible way that the universe could function. So we must all learn the skill of acknowledging the mistake. Now, the problem is, in the past, when there's a mistake, we don't just say, oh, a mistake, and correct it. We usually go into a litany of a story about the mistake, beating ourselves up, condemning ourselves, judging ourselves, reiterating over and over about how many times you've made this mistake, and now you've done it again. Here it is, another failed relationship, another failed whatever it is, you fill in the blanks. So a lot of time is spent in not very productive ways. Would you agree? It's not just like the acknowledgement of it, here's the correction, let it go, and move forward. Depending on the time that you decide to spend there, beating yourself up and condemning yourself, is to the degree that you are actually blocking out love, all kinds of other opportunities and wonderful experiences that could be happening. And then how often you let it go and then come back to it and let it back in the door a little bit because you're not quite finished with beating yourself up. Not quite enough blame and shame yet, so I'll just go at it a little bit more. But again, you have to remember that this law is working and functioning perfectly according to your word. It responds by corresponding. So we're in this process of learning the skill of acknowledging the mistake, making the correction at the level of thought and belief, and then letting go of it. You see, when you make the correction at the level of the thought or belief, you've actually gotten to cause. Rather than sort of surface going over it and saying, yeah, I did it again, and moving forward, but it's not actually ever really healed. Here's the other side of that. Nothing is gained by holding on to past errors. Nothing is gained by that at all. The best thing to do is to acknowledge them, let go of them, and then forget them. How easily are your past mistakes to forget? Pretty easy? Not so easy? Getting easier? Very difficult. Because we have all kinds of measurements. Well, this was a really, really big mistake. So it's going to be with me a long time. Now, this mistake was kind of a medium mistake. This one was sort of light. And we sort of gauge it in that way. Or whatever your barometer is. But nothing is gained by any of that. It's just inviting it to stick around a little bit longer and take up space in your mental household, blocking out the things that you do want and attracting more of the things that you don't want. Because if we are focused on error and mistakes, and that becomes our focus, and that's taking up most of our mental household, then what choice but does the universe have but to keep bringing you more mistakes, more errors, more shame, and more blame? So that's sort of the scientific side of it. Is that clear? Whatever you think about the most, you bring about, right? Very, very simple. And we know that if we want to change something, we change our thought. And we know that our thought is creative and we can change our thought anytime we want, right? Yeah, you all right here, whatever thought you're thinking right now, you could immediately change it to another thought and probably have a completely new experience. How many of you ever had a thought that's come back more than once? The same one, I mean. How many of you have ever had it come back more than 5 times? 12? 20? 100 or more? Okay. Here's the secret. You ready? That's called a pattern. Did you hear me? That's called a pattern. When it keeps coming back in very familiar territory, and it's all a little too similar to the past ones, that's caused, oh dear, I'm caught in a thought pattern. And that's why when we say healing thoughts, we say consciously creating new thought patterns. Consciously creating new thought patterns. So to turn to Spirit, who we are at one with, will remind us who we are and that we're whole again. So when we find ourselves stuck in this critical voice or beating ourselves up, knowing nothing is going to be gained by it except pushing love away, and we're having a difficult time forgetting it, then we turn to Spirit, who we are one with, and then we remind ourselves that we're whole again. Dr. Holmes says that we suffer as long as we continue to make mistakes, and we make mistakes because we believe that we are separate from our source, that we are separate from the divine, separate from our spirit, separate from God, separate from that which created us. So what do you think? The thing created you and then it just went, boop, here it is, and then abandoned you? It's with you. You could never get away from it. You are only going to feel like you've moved. But it never moves away from you. It's always there for you. It's just that where you've decided to focus is on the issue, on the problem, on the mistake, on the thing that's outside of ourselves. And what we end up doing is trying to fix the mirror, which is the universe, rather than fixing the only thing that we can fix, and that's our thought pattern. Still with me? We are at one with God. Would you agree? Yes. Especially today, it's Sunday. Come on. If we are at one with God, and God is love, and with God all things are possible, then love overcomes everything and neutralizes all things that are unlike itself, right? So if you are living in duplicity, hating yourself right now, how would you get out of that so that you could get back to loving yourself? You would have to somehow choose to get out of the hatefulness, except again that you and God are one, which means love, and then you would be right back in the saddle of love again. And all that other stuff would begin to go by the wayside. Love overcomes everything and neutralizes all things that are unlike itself. Something to remember. On page 496 of the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes said, "We are to be fed, clothed, and supplied in every need, straight from the center and source of all. More than this, we could not ask. Greater could not be given. If our thought is of God the good, then we are using the law in the right way." Now we understand why the law does these crazy things. because we're not using it in the correct way, which means we're not using our thought in the correct way. And therefore, the law just responds by corresponding to your most dominant feeling thought. Remember that lesson? What you feel the most, the law responds to. Now, that book that I didn't mention earlier, it's called Creative Mind and Success. I think it might be one of the very first books after the textbook. It's a small book, one of the greatest books you will ever read. If you don't have it, I would strongly recommend today that you stop by the book table and purchase it. Creative Mind and Success. And here's what he said. We must be very clear in our thought, sending out only such thoughts that we intend to see manifested in our condition. And then he said this, as we think, it will be done. Not just what you consciously think, what you're thinking all the time, even subconsciously. And then he goes on further to say, we can't think one way one day and change our thought the next and then hope to get the desired results. He continues, here is something worth remembering. I guess I've read this before because I have read this book many, many times. And I have absolutely no recollection of ever having read this. So let me just preface it by saying that. Here is something worth remembering. Unless we are working with people who think as we do, we had better be working alone. Gulp. How many of you work with people who don't think the way that you think? Two of you. We had better be working alone. One stream of thought, even though it may not be very powerful, will do more for us than many powerful streams that are at a variance with each other. This means that unless we are sure we're working with people who harmonize, we would better work alone. Hang on, it gets better. Of course, we cannot retire from business simply because people do not agree with us. But what we can do is keep our thoughts to ourselves. And then he even goes further in this great book and tells us actually how to do that. I took a few pearls because you would want to read the book to get the rest of them. He says this takes daily practice, thinking and mentally seeing with our imagination, exactly what it is desired. See the thing, feel that it is the truth, and then affirm that it is now done. Further, he says, words and affirmations give shape to thought. They are not creative. Feeling is creative. And the more feeling that is put into the word, the greater the power it will have over conditions. Think of the condition only as an effect, something that follows what we think. It cannot help following our thought. This is the way that all creation comes into expression. Keep a clear thought and never worry about the way that things seem to be going. Believe in your desire as a great reality and do not stop. Keep enlarging your thought and you'll keep growing. All right, let's look at this for a minute. Takes daily practice, right? You're willing to do that, are you not? Of course you are. You're willing to have the thought patterns that you choose enough to practice daily, thinking and mentally seeing in your own imagination exactly what it is you desire, as opposed to seeing and feeling and thinking about what you don't desire, right? You're willing to give yourself that time. You're willing to release and let go of the limitation of the past, correct? That would be those old thought patterns that are creeping in. And you're willing to see that the thing is the truth already, correct? And how easy it is to affirm that it is now already done. And then you get on with the business of living, remembering that your words and your affirmations are now going to give shape to your thought. So you have a thought of a desire, the words and the affirmations that you speak about that are going to give shape to it. So you're going to want those to harmonize with it, are you not? You're not going to speak your desire and then say, oh, shucks, I can't do this. This is too difficult. This is too hard. I don't know how to do it. Because that's an affirmation, isn't it? And those are words, and words are power, correct? So many times that's what we do. We, yes, state our desire, and then immediately following the desire are all the reasons why we just can't have it. The important thing is to look at where those reasons are and where they came from. And then you will get an understanding of why it's so important to practice this daily in now time, because that is just your habit pattern thinking mind. And it is just bringing you the thoughts that you used to have in the past. Most of those thoughts from the past are limiting. The principle is not limiting, but the thoughts of the past usually limit us. How can we enlarge our thinking if we go back to the thoughts of the past? It would be fairly impossible, would it not? Okay, so words and affirmations, as Ernest Holmes tells us, gives shape to thought. And he also says, but they're not creative. That's not what's creative. What's creative? What you feel. That is creation. Why? Because it has the most power behind it. There's no feeling more powerful than love. And sometimes the power of fear or the power of something in opposition appears to override that love. But it isn't really. It's just that we have given more power in feeling behind it. Have you ever had someone come up to you and give you their idea, and you say to them, gosh, what a great idea, and maybe you even add to their idea, and suddenly they stop. And as you're carrying on with their idea and encouraging them and liberating them and affirming it with them, they begin to argue for their own limitations about how this idea just can't happen. It's interesting, isn't it? We start out one way, and then pretty soon we find we're another way. And we are actually now allowing this individual, giving them our harmony and our blessing, and they begin to start arguing for their limitations. How do we serve our sisters and brothers when they do that? You know the saying, argue for your limitations and they're yours. We have to think of some gentle way, some loving, kind way in which to communicate to people, because we don't know we're doing that. I don't know it when I'm doing it. I don't think like, well, I'm just going to argue for my limitations right now because I've just asked this person for their support and their harmony, and now they're giving it to me, and I'm going to just go argue against it. It's not something that we're very conscious about doing, is it? It's a habitual pattern of thought. And we have to find ways in which, not only in our own practice, but in other people's practice, to let them know, maybe you're arguing for your own limitations. And the more people argue for their limitations, and the more sometimes we have to step away, or at least maybe ask permission. How about this being a teachable moment for both of us? How about this being a teachable moment for both of us? Because it sounds like, I think you have an amazing, fantastic idea, and I support you in it, and I give you all my blessings. Let's not argue now about how you can't do it. Whatever your dialogue might be with that individual. So the most important thing for us is to keep remembering that our words and our affirmations are giving shape to all of our thoughts. The creativity to those are the way in which we feel. We feel passion. And where is the passion that we're feeling? Again, thinking of the condition as an effect was just something that naturally follows our thought. That creative process is what happens all the time. Keeping a clear thought and never worrying. So this is a challenge, isn't it? Keeping a clear thought is one thing, but how about the never worrying part? Why is worry so natural? Something doesn't happen, then somehow I've been employed by someone to now worry about that it isn't happening. That becomes my side job. But it isn't really, and what is that doing? It's just throwing restriction and stops and blocks and barriers and delay into this beautiful, pristine, enlarged thought idea that you have. And this is why he said, sometimes we need to keep our thoughts to ourselves. If that's the case, then you have to use good spiritual discernment and decide, is this something that I can share with another individual? And then decide from there. Keep enlarging your thought and you'll keep growing. That's a very, very important thing to do. And it's something that we need to do daily. As we're in our meditation, as we're in our treatment work, you know, it's fine to say God and I are one, God's presence and power, and, you know, I'm sitting here in peace and in harmony. All of that is great. Is that bigger than the way you thought yesterday? Are you bringing something bigger to today? You know, yesterday I thought, a boat would be really nice. Today, I think a yacht would be a lot nicer. Okay, that's just an example. Now, you can let your mind go, I don't want a boat. What's she talking about? I don't even like boats or yachts or things like that. It doesn't really matter. It matters, can you enlarge your thinking and allow yourself to enlarge it? Because that's what evolution is going to do to all of us anyway, so that we continue to move forward. It's like, well, I'm afraid that if I think so big, I won't get it. Well, if you think so small, do you think you'll get it? If so, let me know. I'd be interested. You know, if my vision is really, really, really tiny, will that be better? Oh, I'll be less embarrassed? You have to look at that. The larger the vision, the larger the thinking, the larger the possibility of you at least get larger thinking patterns and larger vision, right? So we have to stop this thinking small. And when you catch yourself into that thinking small as you're going through this process, and the book will help you, you've got to ask yourself, where is this coming from and why does it keep visiting me so frequently? What is this restriction and limitation? I hear people rationalizing it all the time. I want this, but I'll settle for this. I want this, but I don't really need it. Who cares if you really need it? Is there anywhere written, anywhere in scriptures or anything, where God says, I will only give you the things you need, nothing more? So keep it small. Don't you be making that list too big for me. I'm just little God. And don't we hear over and over again, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly? Not I've come to give you a life, but only a little. All that other stuff, I'm afraid, folks, is all conditioning. I'm afraid you heard that elsewhere. I'm afraid that came from some other authority figure or some race, mind, thought, or consciousness that said to you, oh, now, don't take the other people's good away. There's not enough to go around. There's only so much, which is not true, is it? We're learning there's plenty of good. And the more good you're willing to accept, the more will come to you. It's that cutoff point. It's that rationalization, justification. And how about even sometimes judging others who might have a lot or a lot more? And judging that in maybe a negative way. The problem with that is what you're saying is more is not good. So the law says, okay, well, I'll keep more away from this area over here then, and I'll just keep giving it over here. Let this go really deep this morning. Otherwise, what's the point? It's the pattern thinking that has to change. Yes, it might be one thought at a time, but you're going to have to like strangle it. Get it by the neck and strangle it. And let it know there's a new order of things taking place, and it's called enlargement. It's called a bigger consciousness, willing to have more. And listen, if you have more, more is going to be required. I know a lot of people don't like that, but too bad. You can't tell me when you decided to not buy a smart car and you decided instead to buy a Rolls Royce that you didn't have to get a bigger garage. You can't tell me that it didn't cost a little bit more insurance, that it didn't require a little more from you than the little smart car that you used to be able to park in a little sideway of your dining room. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. So you might not like that, but think of it in the most positive, affirmative way. How many of you have had stuff happening to you lately? How many of you haven't loved it so much? Yeah, guess what? Those are your teachers. That's what says here. I'm only here to expand and grow you. I'm only here so you'll have a more expanded understanding. And the way in which somehow it was tailor-made for you was to give you a little bit of this. It doesn't single any of us out and decide whether it's positive or negative or, you know, would this be good for George or would this be better for Sherry or would this be... It's you. You are attracting your perfect lessons. Aren't they always perfect? Aren't they always just the thing that pushed your buttons the most? Aren't they always just the thing you didn't want? Yeah, they're always so perfect for us to stretch and for us not to look at it like somebody's trying to persecute us. You're doing a good job of that yourself. I'm asking you to stop. I'm just asking. I'm asking you to be willing to not do that anymore and not to do it to others either. How is it everything that happens to us, they tell us, is for our growth? How is it everything is supposed to be something so that we'll be able to look a little deeper into ourselves? Why would they say that and then it just be an accident? How many of you have ever had your hearts broken? More than once? Is that the worst? in the moment. It's like, this is just the worst. You can't, there's no way you can feel good in that moment. It's just kind of impossible. But look at you. You don't look broken to me today at all. You look quite whole. How'd you do it? What happened? You know, you did something different. You stretched, you went beyond where you'd gone before. You stopped beating yourself up. You stopped looking as though there was something wrong with you. And you just said, this just wasn't supposed to be right now. That's all. This is just one of those other appearances and conditions that continue to happen. If we can continue to look at things like that, we'll recover so much faster and we'll get right back to what it is we're really supposed to do. I don't know, when I think of the things that maybe have been taken away in my life, or I think of the things that I pushed away in my life, and if I were to sit for a moment, and you could do the same and think, oh gosh, if I only had that back, my life would really be full and complete. Do you really ever go there and really, really think that? Not usually. In some way, somehow, the infinite allows us to move forward. It gives us its full functioning power. It gives us tools, people, places, things, support systems, ideas, so that we can continue to move forward, so that we can look at this and say, this is a condition that is just an effect. There's going to be all kinds of more conditions happening to me in my life. And this is just allowing me to get ready for conditions. I can handle it. I'm big enough, powerful enough, because I'm not alone. Because I have a power, I have a presence, I have a principle that I believe in. And that I know that if I allow it to come forth, that I can relax in grace and ease. And I know a greater good is on its way. Because that's my focus, that's my training. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge what happens and say, ouch, that hurt. Now I'm willing to release this, to let it go, whatever your time frame is. And many times at the same time, we have to get back on the horse and ride on. Interesting thing, life doesn't offer us a luxury. It's an interesting thing, especially with the grieving process and in talking to individuals. It would be nice if we could put our lives on hold and have a certain amount of time that was allotted to us just so I could go through this grieving process, because this loss seems to be demanding it from me. But unfortunately, there's going to be 9 million other things that are going to be happening while you are going through a grieving process, while things are happening happy in your life, while you're demonstrating in your life, while you're manifesting things in your life, while wonderful things are happening and not so wonderful things are happening. And it might be raining and the sun might be out and there may be a zillion things going on. And you will still have the ability to go through whatever it is you need to go through to complete whatever that situation is, so that it teaches you, you learn by it, and you can move forward and grow. However, it only happens when we give ourselves permission to release it and to let it go. If we're just willing to be with it all, then there's no fight. If we're constantly fighting, well, I don't want to be with that, and I don't want this, and this doesn't look right, and I don't like the way that looks, and we keep going on like that, then we aren't learning. Because you attract everything to yourself because it's for your greater good. It's for your growth. If that's the case, then I say, bring it on. All righty, bring it on. I'm open. I'm receptive. If I have that amount of strength, then I'll prove it to myself. You see, that's taking a stand in a conviction, not some of the things I've heard, like, oh, no, I can't take any more. You know, I once said that to, I guess, a highly enlightened individual. I just don't know if I can take any more. She snickered and sort of laughed, and she said, oh, honey, you can take so much more. Yeah. I wanted to go, pah. Right? And that's the truth. We can take so much more. take so much more good, can you not? It all depends on what you think and feel when you hear that. You can take so much more. Be sure you fill in the blanks with what the more is you want to have. Yes, I can take so much more good. And if some other stuff comes along with it, then so be it. Flip it away. I'm not interested in that, thank you. I'm interested in my goodness. I'm interested in my expansion, my growth, my ideas coming into fruition. I'm interested in being an artist, being a writer, being an actor, being a wife, being a husband, being a carpenter. I'm interested in that. That will be my means and my channel of expression. That's why this book is called Creative Mind and Success. They have something to do with the other. This is a book, like a manual, that you will want to have with you forever. And every time you embark a new endeavor, you're going to open it up and you're going to go back to where you've highlighted and peeled back the pages or underlined it, and you're going to see again and again in such a different way. The same way I reread, here's something worth remembering. Unless you're working with people who think as we do, we'd better be working alone. I just don't think I ever read that before. And then you keep reading, and then he lays the whole thing out, and it becomes very understandable. Look, if you have this book at home, buy it for a friend. Boy, I wish about 35 years ago, somebody would have bought it for me and said, just read this right now, because it really does take in everything that you're going through, no matter what it is, in very plain English, and gives you a daily plan of what to do, and you can keep turning back to it when you forget. So I'm going to end this now, and don't say thank God under your breaths. I'm going to end this now with some more wise words, and it's from this book, but I think they're really worth listening to. Get hold of the biggest thing that you can think of and claim it for your own. Mentally see it and hold it as a thing already done. And you will prove to yourself that life is without bounds and you are consciously creating new patterns of thought. Thank you, and so it is. And now the reason I think you'll want to read it is because I've added a lot of my own thoughts in that, and you'll want to get the pure thought of Ernest Holmes. And let's just rejoice in this moment of great celebration. Know that we are harmonized, that our highest desires come with very enlarged thinking, that we have released and let go of the smaller thinking, the smaller mind, and we're allowing the full functioning power of spirit to come forth to guide us, to direct us, to liberate us, to empower us, and to allow us to see our greatest possible potential. We know that we are one with our Creator, with our divine source, with God, infinite good. And therefore, we are at one with love, the greatest power on the planet. So as we move forward this week, let's move forward in love, with love, and expressing love. Let's remember that we have the ability and the capability to change any thought pattern that could be small or restricting us in any way into an enlarger, more wonderful idea of expansion, and expansion always means fuller expression. In gratitude, we release these words, we give thanks in advance, knowing that it is already done, and so it is.